Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Steve Buckhant's Voice of the Wizards is going to join us at 8:40. They got a big one tonight against the Celtics. We're joining us right now to talk some NFL. What's up, pal? Jason Lockham for NFL Insider for CBS, cbssports.com. And I wasn't aware of this. Eric just told me that your mock draft, I guess, from a year ago
getting
was
jocked.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you're getting jocked there, Jason. Accept the props.
I didn't realize it myself until I saw the tweets. I said, hey, I'll take it.
Look at you, draft expert.
Yeah, so can
impressive.
You? Yeah. So what does that mean? So,
give us a recap. What did you hit on?
I don't remember. I don't know. I know I predicted a lot of the trades. Mahomes and some of that stuff ahead. I guess it turned out pretty well.
That's very
apparently
cool.
It
I don't
did.
Think it was a total fluke. I mean, I feel like my mocks, I only do one. You know, I wait till the day of the draft until I gather as much information as I can. And
did
before
you have
I put it
Trubisky
out
going to the Bears?
No, I didn't have that one.
There you go.
Do you get a bonus?
I certainly didn't have them trading up a spot to get him either. I mean, yeah.
Do the honchos but, give you a big bonus, Jason, for having an accurate mock draft?
I don't think anybody has a clue. The crazy thing about it is, like, again, there's people who do like 25 of them. I could never do that. But it's like you do them and people talk about them in real time, and then they, like, just disintegrate into the vapor, right? Like, into the ether. Nobody ever goes back and says, well, who the hell actually knew what they were talking about? Like, it just seems like, oh, well, now we're already doing mock drafts for next year, so who cares about the one for the draft that just happened?
Right.
What do you truly believe about the Malcolm Butler situation? And if Belichick had played Malcolm Butler, do you think the Pats could have won the game?
Well, I don't think he would have hurt them. I don't think he would have played worse than, you know, the corner play they got from Rowe and other people in that secondary. Would it have been a difference in the game? I don't know. I mean, that's just impossible to say. What happened? I mean, I think Bill Belichick got us in a situation where he had convinced himself that for strategic reasons or for personal reasons, that he didn't need this guy on this day, and he was sending a message, and, you know, he has been sort of unceremonious in how he has handled some players when it's clear they're at the end of their Patriots regime, you know, the end of that tenure. And I don't know if this was maybe in part for some perceived past transgressions or things that have rubbed Belichick the wrong way previously. I had heard he was practicing that week. I had heard that he was one of the guys under the weather battling with a flu bug. But that doesn't explain him being active and not playing, you know?
Right.
I mean, why are you letting him play a little bit on special teams? And he's standing on your sideline. You let him dress for the game. It's, you know, nobody understands desperation times and Super Bowls and the magnitude of what's at stake more than Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I just was a little bit astonished that at halftime, with a 30-minute halftime to kiss and make up and do whatever you've got to do to try to salvage your season, why he continued to let Nick Foles eviscerate his secondary on a day he had no pass rush, and his, you know, arguably second-best cover corner doesn't see the light of day. I don't think you can explain it. There are things that happen in this league that that don't necessarily make sense, that maybe are personal and not just business. And this seems like one of them to me.
So, because if he did it for strategic reasons, then he's obviously doing it because he believes that sitting Malcolm Butler helps his team's chances to win. If he does it for personal reasons, he's only doing it to send a message to the player. So there's a big difference.
And the rest of the team as well, you know, just to reaffirm what happens when you get on my bad side. Again, I don't know what he would have done to do that. I mean, he seems to be getting a fair amount of support from other Patriots on social media about his post yesterday. I mean, look, if I'm a Patriot, as much as whatever message Belichick's trying to send, I'm pissed off that we went down and didn't go down swinging with our full, you know, complement of guys who are available. You know, he seemed to think that Rowe was better in that matchup. But, again, at halftime, who's ever been a better adjustments guy than Belichick?
Right.
I mean, that's what he does. I mean, that's part of what makes him so special, and especially in these big games when you have the longer period of time to be around your players and to change strategies and techniques and tactics. I don't know, man. We'll never get an explanation out of him, I can tell you that much. You know, he's going to the grave with it.
What are the other guys saying, though?
I got to think Butler makes a few plays in that game because Rowe was terrible.
Yeah, look, I thought Butler was like, I did a column 3 or 4 days before the Super Bowl of like under the radar guys who I think could play a role. And, you know, he was one of them because the Eagles were going to, look, Peterson's a swashbuckler. They were going to throw the ball to all quadrants. They were going to be aggressive. They were going to try to fight fire with fire in terms of how you match up against Brady, and you better score a lot because even if your defense is good, he's going to score a fair amount in a game like this. And all that transpired, they just never let this guy get a chance to make a play on a ball because he didn't play, you know, he didn't play, and he wasn't in the base package, he wasn't in the nickel, he wasn't in the dime.
I want to ask you about the McDaniels situation. I know you've written about it, and I think, I don't know, you might agree a little bit with me here. It looks like you don't have a completely negative take on it. Obviously, when you have your assistants lined up and you're putting their lives on the line and they're uprooting their families potentially, and then you back out, that's horrible. It's a really bad thing. I get it. But people back out of jobs. This kind of thing happens all the time outside of that part of it. I'm not as hard on McDaniels as others. I mean, it happens a million times. A guy gets offered a job, he accepts it, go back to his current employer, they sweeten the pot, wink, wink, whatever.
Yeah, but that only affects one person.
I understand that other element, and he's going to have to live with that. But I don't think it's the worst thing on earth. People are killing him.
What do you think?
Matt Eberflus, did you guys play them twice a year? They're in the division. Did you have any clue who he was?
No.
Did you know? Were you familiar with the Cowboys linebackers coach?
Nope.
You guys are
Zippy.
In this business,
Zippy.
Right?
Zippy.
Zero.
Do you know who he is now?
Is he the defensive coordinator for the
yes.
Colts?
Is he making considerably more money than he was before?
I would guess.
I would think, yeah.
Does he have much more? Is he upwardly mobile? Is he now eons closer to a head coaching path than he was as an anonymous linebacker coach?
Right.
Did he already have a relationship with the GM, Chris Ballard? And here he did through Rod Marinelli, and Marinelli and Ballard were together in Chicago. So it's not like these were like McDaniels guys only. You know, then you've got the other defensive coach they hired was on Lovie Smith's staff at Illinois. Well, Lovie Smith was in Chicago when Chris Ballard was in their personnel department. This is another guy who was on the GM's list as much as he was on, you know, Josh McDaniels' list. So those guys understood that this was a good situation for them no matter what. And they're not at a stage of their careers where they can be a Josh McDaniels and say, no, yes, yes, no, yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want. This is what I need. This is what I demand if you're ever going to get me out of this fortress in Foxborough. Those guys are in a very different situation. I mean, Dallas, that whole staff almost got blown up. So, like, is it ideal? No. But, like, if they're now working for Frank Reich, and they still pretty much have autonomy on the defensive side of the ball because Frank Reich's not a defensive guy, is the job markedly different? I mean, if you gave them the chance to hit the open market right now, would they do any better than the jobs they have right now? So, I mean, even that part of it, I have a hard time destroying Josh. Now, there was this narrative out there that he's leaving everybody hanging and he couldn't even send a text or a phone call. What a despicable guy. That's just not true. That's just not true.
This is a grasper, and this is from somebody who loved watching Peyton Manning, and I was a Colts fan, still am a Colts fan. Has Peyton ever expressed interest in getting into coaching? I thought that when he was done, he would have been a perfect offensive coordinator.
I don't know that Peyton has the patience for that. You know, Peyton put his coordinators through the ringer when he was a player. I mean, he was mentally exhausting, always with questions, always, you know, he was just driven, and he could show up at your office at 5 in the morning, and he could show up at your office at 10 at night, and you better be there, and you better have answers. You know, sometimes when guys are perfectionists to that degree, it's hard to deal with mere mortals. It's hard to impart that to guys who maybe aren't wired that way or just never will be that good and who maybe on a mental level can't even necessarily keep up with everything you're throwing at them. And that lifestyle is a grinder. I don't see him and really have never seen him in coaching other than, you know, look, the Manning passing camp and, you know, mentoring some young hotshot, you know, Gatorade All-American high school quarterbacks and getting to know those kids as, you know, freshman and sophomore in high school and working with some of them on the side from time to time. But I think he wants to own a football. I think he wants to do what Derek Jeter's doing, run a football team and have a share in it.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who would get him to run the football team, but if it's Cleveland, you know, and football Siberia, then I better, you know, and I'm going to try to, you know, turn around this debacle, then I better have a share in it, a stake in it as well. And at some point, you know, that may turn out to be the case. Like, could he do what John Elway's doing right now? Yeah, but his kids are still young, and he's enjoying them, and they're, you know, in school, and he's able to do all that stuff. But at some point, he's too much of a competitive monster to totally sit on the sidelines. And again, I think it's above the coaching level. I think it's him putting the entire thing together as an executive and also, you know, trying to get a piece of the pie.
So if the Eagles keep Nick Foles, he's got 1 year left, if they keep him as an insurance policy to Wentz, let's just say he plays a couple games next year, but plays pretty well. Has he done enough based on what he did this year winning the Super Bowl to earn himself a big, big money contract the following year when he's a free agent? Even though he'll be like 31 at that point. Has he done enough?
I don't think it'll get to that point. I think he'll be traded at some point, maybe even deeper into the offseason once they have an understanding of exactly where Wentz is come June and July. We've seen quarterback trades happen way later than that. And you go back to the Sam Bradford situation, you know, that was darn near September after Bridgewater got hurt and then the Eagles traded him. So Howie Roseman's not afraid to pull the trigger at any point. I think he is important, certainly, while they're figuring out what's going on with Wentz. But, like, for as little as they expect to need a backup quarterback, like and considering all they gave up for Wentz, they traded up twice to get him, remember. I don't think they have a two or a three this year. If you could recoup that two or the three right now and then bring in a Josh McCown for the same money as you're paying Foles, I think if I'm trying to keep a Super Bowl team together and you're thinking about asset reallocation, I think you have to go that route because you're not going to – because of how well Foles played, you're not going to be able to keep him beyond. He's a rental for you either way. He's a rental at $7.6 million because somebody's going to need a quarterback enough to give him more as a starter than you could ever pay him to back up Wentz. It's almost like a mini Garoppolo situation, only the guy is not going to make that kind of money, and he's obviously not that young and not that much upside. But it's like, how long do we hold on to this insurance policy knowing that a year from now he's gone anyway? And do we just let him leave for whatever we might get back as a 2020 comp pick, you know, or do we just go ahead and set a value on him and see if somebody meets it? And I think that value would be a day two draft pick. And if they're able to get a two or a three, and they look at that as a 10-year starter who's going to make no money the first 5 years, basically, on a rookie wage scale, it's hard to turn that down because there's no way Foles is there for 10 years.
How glad are you that you're back in Baltimore and out of Minneapolis?
You know, it was pretty cold. I was just sick of the mall. I mean, I was really I basically lived in the Mall of America for like 7 days. Mm. So it's a nice, you know, it's a nice mall. I bought a Peloton. But,
that's a big purchase, by the way.
That is a big purchase.
It was my wife's birthday, and I owed her a biggie, so she's been all over me for it.
You're going big, Jason.
You walk around, you walk in that mall, and you never know, like, what you're going to see. They might be selling boats. You know what I mean? Somebody might be selling, you know, whatever. Dune buggies, and it so happened it was the Peloton store. I was like, I didn't even know they had stores. Okay.
Wow, Peloton.
Oh, yeah, like pop-up stores.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, did your wife want that? Because if your wife doesn't want that, and all of a sudden you get her exercise equipment, she could be bitter that you're sending her a message.
No. She was like, she'd been like bugging me about it for like months, and I hadn't gone on the website or whatever. And they're like, oh, we can build it at your house while you're in Minnesota.
Perfect.
I was like, great. Yeah. So that was pretty much it for me. So I was ready to go, but I mean, like, whatever. I can't sit here and moan about, like, it's cold in a lot of the country in February. I mean, would I have rather been in Miami? I guess, but it's not the end of the world. People were great.
Where were you sitting for the Super Bowl? Were you just in the press box?
In the press box, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What's that stadium like?
Pretty cool. You know, it was such a cold day, like, you weren't going to, like, spend any more time outside, you know, walking around it from the perimeter than you had to.
Yeah.
But, I mean, especially when So the game kicked off at like 5:30 out there. So by the time it kicked off, it was getting dark. But, I mean, I got there at like 2:30. And when the sun was out, you know, and it's beaming in from all these different angles, and it's kind of cool how they have the roof there and, you know, how it's not open, but it almost feels open because you can literally feel the warmth of the sun because of the way they have those panels and stuff.
Right.
I dug the stadium. Absolutely. Yeah, it was cool. Huh.
All right, great stuff,
Jason. I didn't
Jason.
Have to pay for it, though. You know,
that's right.
It wasn't
exactly.
My dad's place, so that's
part.
Easy for me to say.
Free trip.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
See you, man.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Have a good one. Thank you.
His dog approves of the interview.
It's always chaos when he hangs up, right?
It's either kids or dogs.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
A family man.
Yeah, he is.
All right, coming up at 8:40, Steve Buckhantz will join us as we talk Wizards Celtics here on The Junkie.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. This must be a Bish song. You put in a request, didn't you, EB?
Waiting for it to...
Keep your mic on.
Waiting for it to load.
To load up in the system.
Gotcha. So we haven't heard EB's request. We are going to talk to Coach DJ Durkin a little bit later.
Make sure you remind me when it's coming on, because I want to know what it is. He hasn't told me what
now
the song
is. Now this is over. I'm leaving him alone.
You'll know
He's
it.
He's got enough.
You'll know it, because it's different than this theme.
Okay, I can see.
DJ Durkin, head coach at the University of Maryland, joins us to talk about National Signing Day. They did well again. We had him on. Now there are two signing days, right? There's the fall signing day, and yesterday, I guess, is the traditional signing
day. It's a December and a February, yeah.
If I was a young high school football player and I was being recruited by DJ Durkin, it would be hard to say no to him.
He's very convincing.
You know what I mean? He's got a lot of energy. He's very positive guy.
He's becoming a semi-regular guest on the show. I think we might need some walk-up music from DJ Durkin.
I think we asked him about it.
But I know he doesn't care about it. All he cares about is signing 4- and 5-star guys from, what's the name of the IMG Academy in Florida?
Yeah.
That's what he wants to do. I get it.
He got a bunch of guys from Florida, didn't he?
He's got that pipeline,
I saw the
man.
Stags had 11 or 12 guys signing yesterday.
Durkin got a couple.
Did he?
Yeah. Got a couple linemen.
Not surprised.
So we'll talk to him at 9:40. Steve Buckhantz, voice of the Wizards, will join us here in about 15 minutes. But right now, we'll open up the entertainment page. Switch gears. Find out what's going on. Celebrity gossip world.
That's entertainment.
I'll tell you what's going on in my world. Today's going to be like a cleansing day. Been
oh, it
eating
is?
So poorly the last couple days.
Well, for me, at 1:30, I'm pulling an EB, and I'm going to the dentist, and I'm having a cavity filled, and I'm not happy about it. But it has to be done.
Which tooth? One of the molars?
In the back.
Yeah.
One of my Garys. One of my Gary molars.
That's a deep.
That's an old reference.
Nobody gets that reference.
Everybody knows he's the old coach at Michigan. Everybody knows that.
All right.
I'm going to physical therapy for my shoulder because it's all banged up.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do the Big Fat Winners podcast at Bonefish.
I see you wincing a lot with your shoulder because you sit right across from me.
A lot of that.
Have you been doing the rehab or is this the first or second
session? I've only been to one session, so this will be the second one.
Uh-huh.
And then what am I doing after Big Fat Winners? I got to go to my daughter's school for something.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go home and watch Duke Carolina.
No. You meant you're going to go home and watch Wizards Celtics.
I'll watch a little bit of that, too.
Thank you.
Yep. That's my day.
Watch our man, Buck.
And Buck, when's Buck on the show? Next?
Yep.
Next. He said he wants to talk about Joe Jacoby.
Joe?
Okay,
good.
I'm with him, man.
All right.
I feel like Joe got screwed. But I do believe that Joe's ultimately going to get in. But it stinks. I just hope he's still alive when he gets in.
That would be nice.
But Jerry Kramer just got in. He died probably 10 years ago.
You know what really stinks? Is it posthumous awards? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
When you're dead and you can't.
If you want to give the Junks
them.
Award, please give it to us while we're alive.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
I actually was very inspirational, I thought, during one of the last commercial breaks. I saw Roger. And
Roger inspired you, the engineer?
No, I inspired him.
You inspired Roger?
I believe I did.
Okay.
You give him a coffee
how
pep
so?
Talk?
I do this all the time. You guys don't realize how coffee. I just pump people up all the time.
No, I don't realize that. Please,
you guys have no
us.
Idea.
Ask A1.
Adam's the exception.
Yeah,
he's, my human punching bag. But
or
Roger was
bro,
like,
"We'll ask Valdez or Drag."
Roger, I've had some moments with those boys. So Roger was just like, "Man, is it?" You know, he's a very talkative guy.
Yeah.
Roger's one of the engineers here.
Sometimes I can't tell what he's really saying.
Yeah. And I don't really
know. I don't know how
mumbles.
Many people are actually listening to him, but he talks.
I don't know. He talks, but
I don't
know.
And I don't even know if he's talking to me or himself.
You know what he talks to? The coffee machine.
He loves that. He's got an obsession with cleaning that
thing. He's
got
a good relationship with that thing.
But I appreciate him and what he does. So he said something, and he was mumbling, he said something to the effect of, "Is it Friday yet?" Which is a very common work theme.
Common office
right? And I
mantra.
Get it. And he was saying something,
especially here,
something to the effect of he really thought it was Friday. He was bummed out. It was only Thursday.
He's got another day.
And you know, obviously, I said, "Well, listen, man, we're only one day away." And then it just dawned on me. I don't know why. I said, "Roger, nothing's ever given to us, my friend. Enjoy today, brother."
Look at you.
Yeah.
Enjoy Dr. E.B. Osteen
today.
Fortune
today
cookie?
Is a great day. And he looked at me, had a big old smile. And he said, "You're right." Pumped him up.
Look at that.
Is this the same Bickle that was complaining for about an hour yesterday on the spot that he had to cut
that thing was
and the parking
right.
deal?
That ruined his day.
He was like, "Oh, it's a pain in my ass."
Hey, I'm not always positive.
Oh, it's going to take an hour.
Well,
you're not always
that's
positive.
What, that's
an understatement. Aaron Hernandez.
Listen.
Aaron, what's this? Netflix.
I would say you're one of the
I don't
more,
even watch Netflix.
I would say you're one of the more negative people I know. Ask, laugh, empty guy.
I might be for me, but I don't think for other people. I
for whatever reason, yeah, for other people.
I wish I could practice what I preached. But I inspired Roger.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how it's going to change his day.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think for a moment.
Maybe it did.
I moved him.
Pumped him up.
He went right back to talking to the coffee machine.
I'm telling you. You guys got to trust me.
I'm telling you. He's got an issue with that thing.
I moved him. And here's the thing with spec spots. Spec spots.
Pulling back the curtain here.
Spec spots can be a nightmare. Especially
radio
now, luckily,
insider.
And I thank them. How many times did I thank you guys yesterday? Because Drabby and Valdez helped me out because they heard me bitching. And they helped me connect. The spec spot was going to take at least
nobody
an hour.
Understands what a spec spot is. For those that are not in the biz, a spec spot is when you're approached to do an endorsement possibly for whatever product.
Right.
They give you a script to read, like a practice script to read.
No, but it wasn't even that. This is the thing that made it a nightmare.
It gets to like the advertiser, and they decide.
Well,
all right,
a lot of times they just want you to ad lib it.
Right. So they wanted this one to be pulled.
If it was just as easy, if they wrote it out, it'd be easy.
Yeah, you wouldn't hear me complain. Oh, you're bringing Roger in? Good.
Hey, Rod. What's going on, Roger?
Hey, Roger. Hold on real quick before I go to Roger. So I want to finish the spec spot
thing. Yeah, spec.
Well, what was the point of that
radio
one?
Insider.
What were we saying
regarding
that?
I don't know. We just talked about how you're...
Because you were saying it was going to take an hour.
Here's the thing with spec spots. It could take an hour, and then you do it.
Because you would have to ad-lib it, write it out.
Ad-lib it, take it, and you want it to be good. And then you don't get the gig.
Right.
Sometimes you don't, right.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Roger, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey,
good.
Roger, what's going
now,
on?
Now, I want people to know that there's at least one guy in here that appreciates all the work you do for that coffee.
Don't paint us into a corner like we don't appreciate what Roger
does. Sure, Cakes does too.
Come on.
I mean, these guys don't drink coffee, but you go in
but
there.
But I talk to them.
I'm not saying you didn't.
Go in and just have water.
Everybody's
he talks about coffee.
Roger, don't be so defensive.
Coffee. Can I talk you into some coffee?
Here, get on the mic, buddy.
Yeah, get on the mic. You're an engineer. Roger, you're an engineer. Which one's he supposed
to
use?
One is it?
Just talk to one of them.
Bring me up.
They're both on.
Bring me up one. Okay,
yeah,
this one
right here. It's not
right.
Five.
Hang on. Let me bring it up a little
insider.
Bit. Yeah, how's that?
You're an engineer.
Roger, question.
All four of us talk to you, by the way.
Before we go any further.
Isn't that true?
I have a question for Roger.
All right.
Do you know each of our names?
Well, I wouldn't think he would know our
I
names.
Wouldn't expect him to.
Why would he know our names?
Do you
Why
know not? Any of our names?
So what's going on?
He's texting. He knows us as a group.
Do you know the name of, hold on. Do you know the name of the show?
Yeah.
What's the name of the show?
Junkie Show.
There you go.
Junkie Show, right.
Yes.
But you know, Roger's worked with us 15 years? I mean, how long have you been with Entercom /CBS?
It's been like 20-some years.
20-some years. And in the same building with us, at least in Lanham. So whenever we went back to Lanham, we've been with Roger. So what's that, 10 years?
You may have been in Fairfax, too.
Were you ever in Fairfax with us?
I was in Fairfax for a while.
You were?
Yeah.
So Roger's basically worked with us our entire career, so you still don't know our names.
You don't know one person's name out of the four.
Could you pick one of us? You had to guess. Have you heard of any of our names?
Well, DB and JP and, you know, it's good stuff.
All right. So
we're just
ancillary players.
He doesn't know which
Cakes,
one is
Cakes
AB.
Cakes and I, we're just good stuff.
Which one, yeah. Which one do you think is EB?
EB.
Which one do you think is EB?
I am thinking it's him.
Which one?
He
kind of pointed to Jason.
Jason's over there. But.
Yeah.
Oh, so he got it.
He got it. Okay.
Okay.
He knows.
It's so funny.
I was just curious.
It's so funny. Right. So here's the thing. I was telling the guys, right. And they're goofing on me.
Right.
And I said, I think I inspired Roger during the break. Right. Remember you were talking. Remember we had a conversation. Do you remember the conversation we had?
Yeah.
What did you say? What did you say first? What? Something about the day.
Don't lead the witness.
Was it Friday?
Right.
Right. Wait, a really memorable.
I know it's not Friday, but I said it could be Friday.
Just had the conversation, and he remembers none of this.
He's inspired, all right.
Well, I didn't know if he remembered what we were talking about.
Which was this morning,
right?
Rocky
over there.
All right, did it? And then what did I say to you, Roger?
I think you were saying it's enjoy the day for what it is. Right?
Thank you. Thank
How's
you.
That?
But don't rush through Friday. Friday's not guaranteed for any of us, right?
That's right.
Right?
How about that?
Did I pump you up?
And that makes a lot of sense, you know?
You're the next Oprah. Is it changing your day at all?
Did I not?
Oh, the day's been wonderful so far.
Did I not pump you up? Was it not? Were you not encouraged for a moment?
Yeah, that was enlightening.
Thank you.
It really was.
Thank you.
That set me straight.
Yeah. By the way, he's EB.
Yeah. So just set me straight, and yeah. Right.
And tomorrow's Friday, so we'll be happy tomorrow.
Could it really be Friday?
Yeah.
Yes, it could be Friday.
It could be Friday.
Any Godzilla movies on today?
No, I think they ran out.
That's what I know about Roger. He loves coffee, clean coffee.
Oh, you know what else he likes?
Loves Godzilla movies.
You know what else he likes? Second to me, weather. He always talks about weather.
Can you give me a weather forecast? What's the forecast for today?
It's just cold all day. 28.
Here's what else I've heard about Roger. Real estate mogul.
You're a
realist? Owns a lot of homes.
Is that true?
Yeah.
He has a lot of income properties.
He has a bunch of Katies.
Oh, really? Now, do you like when things go bad, are you the guy, or do you have like handyman, or are you the handy guy? Like when things go bad and you need to get fixed?
Sometimes I'll do it myself
if
I'm at those houses, but they're far away. So
right.
I might get somebody to do it.
He's got an empire.
So how many different properties do you own?
Like 5 altogether.
Wow. Wow,
look at that. That's a nice revenue stream.
Look at it. Radio engineer money must be nice.
It's better than producer money. Because Valdez barely owns the home he's
are
in.
Do you already park in the parking garage here?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't worry about the small peanuts like out there, right? You don't care. You'll pay
He just up somebody's rent. He's a slumlord.
Right.
All right, slumlord is a bad term. I get it. A landlord.
All right, Roger. The thing that's interesting about it, you know, there's no free ride. There's taxes and insurance to pay on.
Oh,
all
yeah, of course, course.
Yeah, sure. Right.
Gotta pay. No, gotta pay the man. Gotta pay the man.
Of course. All right. Thank you, Roger. Right,
very
thank
good.
You.
All right.
Roger, one of the lead engineers here.
Might have to be a weekly segment.
By the way,
checking in with Roger.
What happened to Carlos? We really have a show to get Carlos here.
Carlos will be on tomorrow. He's coming in on his day off.
Nice.
Nuh-uh.
Why couldn't he come in today?
He's not allowed to. He can't leave the front desk.
Well, hold on.
He leaves the front desk all the time.
Yeah, but he's doing like security stuff.
I never see Carlos.
We had to get approval, and so he called back and said he'd love to come in tomorrow around 6 a.m.
Okay.
He's
on his day off?
He didn't have to come in on his day off.
I told him that 100 times.
Well, he should come in before his shift or after his shift.
It could be like a dubbed coffee with Carlos early.
Right.
Early shift.
I would love coffee with Carlos.
Early bit.
Yeah. Carlos Roger.
By the way, botch of the day, Jerry Kramer is alive. He's not dead.
Oh, I thought he was dead. I'm sorry.
He's so alive.
Hold on, Jerry Kramer, why am I not tracking?
We were talking about
Hall of Famer.
We were just talking about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
We had a whole discussion about it.
I read Jerry Kramer's book. I thought for 100% sure he was dead for 10 years.
Nope.
Okay.
He's alive.
Not the first time. It was not the last time, I'll be wrong.
Live and kicking.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, Steve Buckhantz, voice of the Wizards. We'll talk about their matchup with the Celtics. And apparently we'll talk about Joe Jacoby being slighted once again for the Hall of Fame. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. I do feel like I'm in some sort of time warp. Early days of the Junkies. We used to hear this a lot. This is
I love
who?
The song. Live.
This is live.
Yeah,
this is live.
Yeah, it's selling the drama,
This is a
Richie.
Band that many, many moons ago, and I'll make this quick because I know we have Buck to get to, that I introduced on stage in D.C. at a big concert about 10 minutes before they were ready to actually
take
the
stage. Oh, that's right.
Those are the worst bits.
It was very awkward, and I hope to never do that again.
Well, I don't think we ever will.
You're pretty much right. Yeah. I'll never do that again.
Because we'll never agree to do it.
You're correct again.
All right, so the Wiz have a big game against the Celtics tonight. Join us right now from NBC Sports Washington, the play-by-play voice. Steve Buckhans joins us, but apparently Buck wants to talk about Joe Jacoby a little bit.
I'm sure he's
outraged. I want to talk about both, obviously.
Yeah. But, hello, Buck.
It's been bothering me, as it's been bothering everybody in Washington, the fact that he hasn't been elected into this Hall of Fame. And as I get to thinking about this whole thing, not to slight the Wizards and put them second place here, but I want to get this off my chest. You know, there's a reason. I mean, if you think about this thing, there's a reason that this process is, I don't want to say it's flawed, but the way it is in Washington. And all you have to know is this, as we look at this situation, this is all we have to know. Forget about all the accolades of Jake, which we know are many, and we know him better than anybody outside the NFL or outside Washington, let's put it that way. If Russ Grimm is in, and we love Russ Grimm, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a great player, and he's a good friend, and everybody knows that he's a heck of a player. Mm-hmm. But here's why the way they've chosen this is incorrect. If Russ is in, then Jake has to be in. That's all you need to know about this whole thing. That's all you need to know.
Listen.
If Russ Grimm is in, then Jacoby must be in, because as we know, the Redskins – and they're all, I know all of these guys. Look, it's like saying that if Jeff Bostic were in, Jake should be ahead of him. Jeff's a very good friend of mine, but Jake is the better of all the offensive linemen that's ever played the game for the Redskins, and he should be there before anybody else is in there, and that's all you need to know about
the
process.
So why was the anchor?
Why do you think the committee feels different?
I don't think they are privy. And it really surprises me, because evidently Larry Michael had a really good presentation of Jake and, you know, explained all the accolades and what have you. I think the biggest reason, to answer your question, is because Russ has been more relevant. Russ is a coach, mm-hmm. and a coach at a very high level, with a big team, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest reason, is because he's much more in the limelight, he's much more in the know, he's much more relevant than Jake has been to these guys. But as Redskin fans, mm-hmm. we know that. Look, you guys have been around a long time. I covered the team for 14 years. There's no question. And again, I'm not slighting Russ Grimm. I love Russ, and he deserves to be there. But we all know how this team operated. And if Russ Grimm is in, then Joe Jacoby, should have been the first one in. There's no question about it.
There's no question. Let me ask you, and I don't know quite, you know, how the procedure works. I know you have somebody that kind of lobbies on your behalf and you know, gives the presentation, whatever, but it's all kind of behind doors, and who knows what really happens.
Yeah, and that was Larry, and he did a good job.
I love Larry. But in years past, I mean, we need like a Gibbs. You know what I mean? Like, we need a heavy, heavy, heavy hitter. And I like Larry, but... I mean, has Gibbs done this before?
That's a good question. I don't know how that works, and I don't know if former coaches go in there and do that. I really don't know how that works. But, that would have been nice. But
let me ask you this, Steve. Do you have a problem with any of the five that actually did get in this year?
Absolutely not, and congratulations to Bobby Bethard. I mean, that's fabulous. Mm-hmm. Look, you know, that's our era. He was the guy that orchestrated not only the great Redskin teams, but the replacement team with Charlie Casserly, and those guys were – you know, instrumental in doing that. But you know, as I try to come to grips with this, and the other stat that just keeps coming back at me is the 9 sacks in 91 with Mark Rippon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, some teams have given up 9 sacks in a game.
Right.
This team gave up 9 sacks the whole year.
Well, the other thing, Buck, is that, correct me if I'm wrong here, but he really kind of epitomized the face of the revolutionizing the offensive line, like the big 6'7", 300-pounder. That was Joe Jacoby, right? Am I wrong about that?
No, you're right. And he did everything. Obviously, he played left tackle for most of the time against the greatest, you know, linebackers that were rushing the quarterback that, you know, the game's ever seen, or some of the greatest. And then he was a pulling tackle.
And when he came at you, you couldn't even see the running back. You couldn't find him. And if you think back to, I think back to the games that were announced by, you know, John Madden and Pat Summerall or Madden and Michaels or whatever, and I can hear John Madden saying, you know, well, here comes Big Joe Jacoby, and, you know, you can't even get, you can't even see the guy behind him, and how are you going to stop him? And that keeps ringing in my ears. But that one stat about the 9 sacks just is unbelievable to me. But as I thought about this and thought about this and thought about this, all you need to know about that process, whatever it is that is where these guys are selected, at least in this city, I don't know about the other cities, but the criteria for an offensive lineman, when you think about that, all you need to know is if they selected Russ Grimm, then how did they not select Joe Jacoby? That's all you need to know. Mm-hmm. Because as we remember and as we know Joe Jacoby and that offensive line, he was the anchor of that line. Russ was a great player, don't get me wrong. But Jake was clearly the anchor and the best player on that line.
Yeah. He gets Joe. Better about it.
Well, he's right.
He's passionate about it.
He's 100% right.
You were like me when they wouldn't put T.O. in, but obviously he finally got in. All right.
And by the way, I do believe, and I think Buck might agree with me, I believe eventually he's going to get in. I just hope he's still alive when he gets in.
Yeah, let's hope.
I hope he gets in, and let's hope he's alive. He should be.
All right, let's get a couple Wiz questions in here. Trade deadline today at 3. Do you think they move anybody?
I really don't, unless there's something going on between Ernie and Tommy Shepard that I'm not privy to, and I'm not privy to most of the things they think about behind closed doors, but I do get a chance to talk to them on occasion. And I know that one of the things they need to be aware of and sort of cautious about is when you do something like this, A, you need to be prudent. You don't want to spend more money or give more players away than you should. And you also don't want to make a casual move or a move that puts you in the same position as you were in before. You clearly want to better your team. So to make a neutral move doesn't do you any good. Mm-hmm. And you also have to be careful about your future. You know, I mean, they signed 3 guys, core players, in Porter, Beal, and Wall because they want to keep them together. And now you have a guy with a tremendous upside in Kelly Oubre. You just don't want to be giving these guys away. You want to keep as many good young players as you can. So if you're asking me, I don't think so. But if there's some big blockbuster deal that's going to happen, I don't know about it.
So there's been a lot of discussion, and we've talked about it on this show, about how the team has played without John Wall and obviously some of the behind-the-scenes comments. But you watch them every night. How different have they been without Wall? I mean, it's obvious in the assist numbers.
Yeah. Well, it's obvious in the assist numbers, although, you know, you look at John Wall, he's second in the league in assists.
Sure.
You know, he's averaging 10 assists a game almost. So, I mean, there's no question that he's one of the best passers in the league, and he gets the ball up and down the court faster than anybody else. I think what you've seen is, and I don't want to sound cliched, but I think what you've seen is, the next man up thing. The players step up when a guy goes down. And the Wizards aren't the only team that's done that. You know, Kyrie Irving, it's happened with them. It's happened in San Antonio with Kawhi Leonard. Guys go down and other players step it up and win games. It can be done. It doesn't mean you're a better team without your best player. It means you can sometimes play better. And in this case, you've seen guys like Satoransky and even Jody Meeks and some of these other guys come in, and Jan Mahimi's another one, and just raise the level of their game. And that's what they've done, save for obviously Philadelphia, although that, you know, they came back in that game and cut it to 7. But they beat some other good teams, Oklahoma City and Toronto. I mean, we're not just talking about the Atlantas of the world. We're talking about good teams. So tonight will be another really good test against a very good team that, save for their last game when they suffered their second worst loss of the season in Toronto, Boston's playing pretty good. So I just think other guys have stepped up. You know, I don't think it's that we're seeing anything so much different. I think you're seeing a lot of ball movement. You're seeing a lot of player movement, guys running around, and coaches teach that. We saw that in Atlanta a few years ago when they were really good. We've seen it, obviously, with San Antonio for years. Guys are moving around. The ball is moving around, and that's why you're getting that many more assists.
Now, maybe the media makes too much of it. Maybe we are making too much of it. But, you know, when you see these tweets between Beal and John and Marchin, mm-hmm. you know, there's clearly something there. You know, maybe it's not as big of a deal as we think it is, but they're not seeing eye to eye on something. Is that a big deal to you?
That's a good question, Jason. I think it's not a big deal to me.
I don't think it's as big a deal in the locker room as people want to make this out to be. I listened to March's comments yesterday about this, and you know, look, John is in a position where he's trying to now rehab his knee, and that's a difficult thing to do when you're not with your team, you're not on the road, you're back here, you're working by yourself. That's a tough thing to do in any sport, and so you hear things and you think things and whatever is said. There's no doubt that March is the beneficiary of John's passes. There's no question about that. And I think Marchand knows that. So I don't think there's a big rift between those guys. Maybe it sounds like it, but I don't think it's that big of a deal. Now, does that mean that somebody doesn't get moved at some point because you can't, you know, you can't have dissension for a long time? Winning seems to make these things go away. And if the team can win on a consistent basis, hopefully that stuff will go away, and because I haven't really seen it prior to this.
Buck, Jan Mahinmi has scored in double figures in three of the last four. Does he
keep about the big Frenchman?
Does he keep the heater going tonight? Look at this.
I guess, you know, he's playing with, it really seems to me like he's playing with a newfound sort of optimism on his part. I mean, look at his free throws the other day. He's making his free throws, which is just crazy to me. And I asked him about that after one game, and he just said, you know, you get up there and you get a little more confident, and sometimes you make them. But he said the other night that he's feeling really well. His knees are good. I mean, if you look at him from this year to last year to this year, he's lost a lot of weight, and he really looks good. But he just, I don't know, sometimes he gets in a groove and he plays really well, and they need that from him, obviously. But I think he's playing with just a new sense of energy and intensity and focus right now.
All right, great stuff.
All right, Buck. We'll be watching tonight, buddy.
Like this run. Let's keep it going.
Yeah, let's see what happens. They're in fourth, I guess, still right now, and, you know, close to Cleveland, and anything could happen with that team because they, other than last night, and that was a turnaround game, I think, maybe for them. Did you see that shot last night by LeBron?
Yeah, yeah. Incredible.
And a great shot.
Oh, by the way, Buck, I just heard Adam Silver mention that next year's All-Star break is the last weekend of the year.
As long as it's eight or more days, I'm happy about that.
Yeah, you'll get your time. All right, buddy.
All right, thank you.
Guys.
Thanks, Buck. Steve. All right, buddy.
Steve
Later.
Chance. You can watch him on the call tonight on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up in the next hour, we have Tiki Barber to talk some NFL and DJ Durkin at 9:40, the head football coach of the Maryland Terrapins.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.